a community crisis. For 42 years, the Martin Luther King Multi-Service Center has serviced tens of thousands of families living in the central northern part of Indianapolis and Marion County, in the Butler-Tarkington neighborhood, neighborhoods going all the way up towards Broad Ripple, toward the Grand View Corridor. Senior citizens, young people, folks needing a job. There are a lot of people listening who over 42 years were benefited, were helped, were assisted by programs and the staff at the Martin Luther King Multi-Service Center. They are now facing what is being described as a severe crisis, one of the biggest crises that organization has ever had, and a huge crisis facing one of Indianapolis's major multi-service centers. It was 10 years ago that the Citizens Multi-Service Center, down paradoxically catty-corner from the Bobby Kennedy Martin Luther King statue down at 17th and Broadway, went out of business, went under. It was in the fall of 2010 when Krista Morehouse had a severe financial crisis so severe that several employees had to be laid off. Programs had to be curtailed while Krista Morehouse got itself together and turned itself around. Now Martin Luther King Center is facing a crisis. It came to a head yesterday during a meeting that had nothing to do with the center, a meeting of a wide range of community leaders trying to deal with the violence in our community. And the word was dropped by the center's executive director, Joni Collins. This is according to the Indianapolis Star, not only the Star, but numerous people that were in the meeting, Chris, after the meeting started to text me, email me, and call me to tell me what went down. And what was stated by Ms. Collins was that the center was going to close at the end of next week for a period of months. That caused the Indianapolis police chief to be angry. It caused the head of the 10-point coalition to be angry. It caused everybody in that room to be livid, because this center has been a part of the fabric of this city for 4 decades and 2 years. On our live line is the board chair of the Martin Luther King Multi-Service Center, Dr. Kimberly Sterling, and she joins me live. Dr. Sterling, welcome.
Thank you very much, Amos, for having me on today.
It's a little after 1 o'clock on February the 19th. What exactly is going on? What is the status right now of the Martin Luther King Multi-Service Center?
So today, February 19th, we are still open. Starting next week, Monday, March 4th, we will start a period of a pause or a hiatus so that we can address immediate financial crisis that we have right now. We are very, very concerned and sensitive to the needs of the community. And over the past couple of weeks, we have been engaged in discussions with other organizations to make sure that there are transition plans in place for clients. And we are very close to being ready to announce those very specific transition plans. So that's the status of the organization today. The pause, what we have decided as a board, is that our goal is to have a pause for 60 days, so 2 months, up to 120 days, 4 months. And the reason why we stated this specifically is because we know that there is it's a time of urgency, and we want to make sure that there is not an open-ended pause of services for this community, but we also know that we absolutely have to address financial challenges that we have. We also have a plan to engage the community to make sure that as we go back to look at our vision and the mission of the organization and the current needs of the community, that those are addressed, and to ensure that we take a look at the needs of the community and then what services need to be provided and programming. And then we also have to do a very good job in engaging funders that we can build a long-term strategy for sustainability. Because right now we are literally living paycheck to paycheck and barely making that.
When you say the immediate financial crisis, your fiscal year, and correct me if I'm wrong, the fiscal year for the Martin Luther King Center is from July through June. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So at the end of June of last year, the end of June 2012, what was the financial condition of the center? You know, how much had you taken in? How much had you spent? What was the deficit?
Yes. So we were running in the red at that time. We were trying to do a lot of fundraising activities. We applied for a lot of grants we did not receive for a variety of reasons. And one funder put in writing that it was due to financial instability. We also were able to stay open by starting to cut down on services. And I know that you had Joni Collins, our executive director, on the air in November, mm-hmm. Where there were some concerns around the cutbacks for the senior program. So we were trying to manage expenses in line with income that was coming in. But again, there were a lot of outstanding payables that started to accrue. And so it's not like overnight we woke up and said, wow, we have a financial crisis. We've been trying to do as much as we could to stop, how should I say this, so that we could actually address the concerns. But now it's come to a point where we absolutely have to pause and regroup to continue serving the needs of the community.
The Indianapolis Star, in a badly written story in this morning's paper, indicated that a majority of the center's annual budget, $248,000, comes from the United Way. Is the total amount of revenue you generate only $250,000?
Good question. I do not have my financial records in front of me, so I will have to follow back up with you on that. I will say that the majority of our income does come from, at this time, United Way.
Let me go back, though, to the deficit. In the fiscal year that ended on June the 30th of 2010, the Martin Luther King Center had revenues of about $623,000, expenses of $713,000, and a deficit of $90,301. In the fiscal year that ended June 30, 2012, he had revenue of $431,000, so there was a decline of almost $100,000 in revenue. Expenses were also down a little bit more than that. Expenses were $594,000, and the deficit was a little more than about $163,700. So if I were looking at the Form 990 income tax form for the period ending June the 30th, 2013, am I going to be seeing a deficit in excess of $250,000 or more?
You will see a deficit. I cannot specifically comment on how much because I don't have.
Well, wait, hold it. No disrespect. I'm talking about a document that is public record, and that is the 990 income tax form. And I'm asking formally in front of the audience that document be produced because I think the community needs to understand if this is a true financial crisis. We're all grown-ups here.
Sure.
And I think the community would need to know that. Can that document be provided electronically to us and to the public today, no later than tomorrow?
I will, if it's publicly available, I need to just make sure everything has been submitted as it's supposed to be. We can provide that. Yeah. I literally just don't have that with me in front of me.
Is there a reason when Krista Morehouse had their crisis, mm-hmm. They laid off at least a third of their staff. They cut some programs. To quote at the time, your counterpart on the Krista Morehouse board at that time was Dr. Sheena Suggs, said that if we can get through 2010 and start fresh from 2011 with leaner staffing and a new focused approach to core program services, they were able to stay open. Why didn't the board elect to follow the Krista Moore plan?
Mm-hmm. So I was not around at the time when Kristen Moore was going through their issues. I was recently educated on what happened with Kristen Moore. Actually, it occurred late last week to find out more information. I think there's a couple of things that are different about Kristen Moore than with Martin Luther King Community Center, again, based on the information that I received. Kristen Moore House had a guild who existed, which also helped a lot with the fundraising. We do not have a guild. I believe that our business model has been such that we have been relying on funders to provide funds primarily. And not that that's bad, but I think we have to make sure that we have a balanced approach to how we are getting income, and to make sure that we are not relying on just one funder or just two funders, but that we're also trying to diversify that. That's something that in the past 60 days since I've been president, I have been more acutely attuned to that. And that is our effort during this pause that we're going to take. So hopefully that's answered the question. Again, I don't have a lot of information about Kristen Moore House at the time when they were going through their financial crisis. Mm-hmm. I'm sharing what I know, so this is now third-hand information.
What is the United Way's role in all of this? I mean, it has to be embarrassing to a United Way that a United Way-funded agency literally in the shadow of the United Way's headquarters is having these kind of severe financial difficulties. What's the United Way's role in all of this?
Mm-hmm. So United Way, I will have to admit, has come alongside of us. We currently will still continue to receive our allocations, and to be honest with the community, if United Way had walked away from MLK totally on February 1st, 2014, we would have shut our doors because there was no way for us to pay staff, to pay utilities, to pay on outstanding bills as well. So, United Way is in the process of working with us. They have identified and are going to pay for a consultant to come alongside of us, so it's not just the board trying to turn everything around, but really having someone who can help us think through this strategically. We do have a turnaround plan that was developed within a week's time that the board rallied to put together and be very thoughtful about it. They are also engaged in conversations with other funders to ask them to come alongside MLK Community Center because of the needs that we provide and that we are a huge asset to the community. I mean, we provide needs. And so in this case, and I can only speak for what I know, which is MLK Community Center, they are at least continuing the allocations and coming alongside of us in this process. And they have not removed funds.
We're talking with Dr. Kimberly Sterling. She is the board chair of the Martin Luther King Multi-Service Center. So you only have a staff of, if I'm looking here at the website mlk-msc.org, and it only indicates in terms of the number of employees, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I'm trying to figure out, not having staff for 2 to 4 months, how that saves you dollars. I mean, you're not closing the building. You're still going to be paying the utilities on the building at 40 West 40th Street. So I'm trying to figure out, halting programs, you know, where are you saving the dollars at?
Mm-hmm. So I cannot provide specifics yet. And again, I want to make sure that I am respectful of our staff so that they understand the plan clearly before I announce anything publicly. But the goal is to make sure that as much as possible, we can put all income that is not based on non-restricted funds toward paying off debt, to also make sure that we are reassessing and coming back with the needs, providing services and programs that meet the needs of the community.
Is there a reason, given this financial crisis? And I remember a financial crisis back in the late 70s that Indiana Black Expo had. And I remember other nonprofit organizations that have had similar financial crises where the vendors and the creditors were approached and the nonprofit tried to reach agreement to try to get settlement on some of those back bills for less than 100%, 100% of the dollar. Did the board look at those options of going to creditors and vendors and seeing what kind of forgiveness on some of the accounts payable, accounts receivable could be achieved?
To date, we have not done that for the payables from vendors. We have been in negotiation with a financial institution to negotiate aspects of the terms of our equity line of credit.
Is
still ongoing.
One of the buzzes that is going out in the community is the status of your building at 40 West 40th Street. There's all kind of wild speculation that the United Way owns the building. The United Way is coveting the building. Developers are coveting the building for parking lots, apartment buildings, who knows what else. The city is coveting the building for the expansion of Tarkington Park. First of all, what is the status of the building? Does the center own that building?
Yes, the MLK Community Center owns that building.
Is the building owned free and clear? No encumbrances or mortgages on the building?
No, it is not owned free and clear. We do have an equity line of credit.
Okay.
On that building.
And what, in this 60 to 120 days hiatus, what will the status of the building be? Will it be open, closed?
That, the specifics around the building itself, I can't release that right now because we're still working through a few arrangements that we are making.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say we are still working with a few individuals to make sure that we can publicly state what happens with that building. What I can say is we will not have full programming ongoing during the 60 to 120 days.
Is there additional costs that you're going to have to assume in terms of having somebody watching the building during the daytime hours?
We are working through that, so I want to make sure people don't feel that I am holding back information. Again, I have not had specific conversations with the staff, nor have I completed negotiations with individuals that we're working with around transition. So if you will grant me a little bit of grace here, when we have that information, I will come back and provide more specifics.
Let me come back to the financial condition. Does this board meet every month, every other month, once every 3 months?
The board in the past has met once a month. It's been the fourth Monday of every month. Since I've been in leadership position, we have met at least every other week as a full board. Usually one time is in person, the other time is over the phone. Because of the immediate needs to figure out a plan and trying to make sure that we're staying very community focused and client focused, we have been having meetings almost every third day for the past month and a half.
When you all had the regular meetings, was there like a treasurer's report, a report on the finances of the organization? And if there were, didn't anybody see the number that has a minus sign next to it get bigger and bigger and bigger? Did somebody say, hey, what we gonna do?
Yes. We may not have used those words, Amos, but yes, we were aware of the challenges. I believe the best way to characterize this is that there was a lack of adequate oversight by the board. I think we were slow to make hard decisions on programming and staffing quick enough. I think we also did not, as a board, strategically reach out to funders to really understand why are we not getting funding, but then also to put a plan in place so that we could develop relationships with funders to increase their confidence in the center. And then also, we had a lack of board engagement from the full board. I think over the past 60 days, we have been able to re-energize those who have chosen to stay with the board. And for those who are members of the board, everyone has an active role in what we are doing.
What it is... We're talking with Dr. Kimberly Sterling, board chair. You may want to send me an email at praiseindy.com, or you may want to send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, 37890, keyword Amos. Let me go back to the attitude and the reaction of community leaders. Mm-hmm. Has been uniformly, you know, shock. Is there a reason why the board did not start telegraphing to key leaders in the community that there was trouble in River City?
I will say that over the past couple of weeks, we have had discussions. We did reach out to one elected official's office and had a discussion to make them aware. We were in the process of executing that plan, and so this interview is somewhat right in the middle of the communication plan and strategy. So in retrospect, you know, having engaged community leaders as well as the broader community when we were first having financial issues absolutely should have been done. Going forward, I think this is key as one of our responsibilities as a board to not only talk about what's going well, but also to say, this is not going well and we need your help. And not just, we want you to do ABCD, but more so, here's the issue. We need a variety of minds really helping us to brainstorm solutions. And so, you know, I think what we were trying to do was trying to handle the financial issues from a very internal perspective versus reaching out externally and something that we need to consider as we go forward and how we will engage the community, community partners, funders, and elected officials.
How do you answer Reverend Charles Harrison of 10 Point Coalition's quote in this morning's paper? He said, quote, this is a shock to the community. It will create a void in one of the areas of the city where we have a high level of crime. What are those people going in that area going to do? End of quote. What's your reaction to what Reverend Harrison said?
Yeah. So I think if we had no transition plans that we were developing right now, absolutely, I would say, wow, there's nothing that's going to be provided. That's not the goal. We intend to make sure that clients that are being served by us, whether it was through our youth services, seniors program, direct assistance, kinship care, workforce development, that clients know what the alternatives are in the short term. Again, once I can provide the bigger plan, I'm more than happy to come back and to talk through those specific pieces. But the goal was never to just leave the community without resources. It's understanding who else is providing resources in proximity to make sure that we can redirect and provide for the needs of the community, even if it's not MLK Community Center doing the providing.
When was the decision made by the board to go this route of the 60-day to 120-day hiatus?
We made that decision. I'm trying to make sure I have my dates right. It was the end of January. What we were trying to figure out is for the month of February, because we didn't think we could just close down February 1st. We were trying to figure out how do we make sure that we build some partnerships, whether they're formally or informally, with other organizations, as well as we were trying very hard to figure out how do we respect our staff members and try to figure out which programs will we keep, which ones will we not in this pause of this hiatus that we're taking for 60 to 120 days. And to make some of those staffing decisions as well.
As regards the staff, is this considered, are you in essence laying off the staff, or are you ending the employment of staff, and if they wanted to continue with a new Martin Luther King Center, they would have to reapply?
Based on legal counsel's advice, it would be a layoff. Our goal as a board is to say, here's the programming and activities we're going to do. Here are the roles and responsibilities. And then to reassess who is able to do those jobs. I don't have that information, so I can't speak to whether or not current staff would fit into those job descriptions.
What was the board leadership's reaction to the executive director dropping this bomb yesterday at that meeting?
I think we were caught off guard, not knowing that the meeting was taking place. I felt it was important to engage individuals like yourself, Amos, to make sure that we provided what we knew at this point in time. Joni had not been briefed on what activities we had done over the past couple of days. And so there's definitely miscommunication, I'll put it that way.
One final thing, and I appreciate your time. You're a young board, which is a good thing to have young, new blood out here working with nonprofits, you know, being community servant leaders. Given the fact that you're a young board confronted with this kind of crisis, given the fact that you're telling me that United Way has kind of been a partner in working with you, is there a reason why you all did not ask the United Way, or the United Way did not volunteer to say, hey, we know this is going to be sensitive. We know this is not going to hit the community right. You know, let us go and touch bases with key people in the community on your behalf. Is there a reason why that wasn't done? That would have kept giving you all the time to focus on, you know, doing the things you need to do to move forward. But then the United Way on your behalf could have, you know, base touched with a lot of people and, you know, and given them the heads up.
Mm-hmm. So what I'll say to that, Amos, is as we were considering all options, we had talked about the need for managing the news from a PR perspective. I think what caught all of us off guard, and I can, again, only speak for MLK Community Center Board, was how quickly the information leaked out to the community after the decision had been made. And with that, we have been, again, in crisis mode ever since. So what should have been a month where we could have said, we could have made the ask to United Way, please go talk to individual A, organization B, you know, prominent, you know, leader in the community C, we unfortunately had to manage from a PR perspective, in a crisis mode. And anytime you deal with crisis, it's very hard to execute on a strategy because daily you are reassessing that strategy and putting tactics together. So it has come out at a, not in the manner in which we want it to, because, again, we wanted to make sure that staff was respected and that the community understood the whys behind what was happening. But we're here today, and this is the first of many conversations that I know we will have.
And finally, there are clients, whether they're senior clients, whether there's parents and grandparents that have their young people in the aftercare program, whether they're people that have that, that have been helped or current clients of the Martin Luther King Multi-Service Center. What do you, as the board chair, have to say to them this afternoon?
I want you to know that this decision that we have made has not been made lightly. There have been many, many, many sleepless nights, not just on my account, but also on account of the staff. When I had a meeting with them, their first question was not about what happens to me, but it was about what happens to our clients that we serve. And so we are working feverishly to put together transition plans that will ease the pain, because I would be trite to say that this is not going to be painful. It's going to be painful for a short period of time, but we do very much keep you in mind with every decision that we're making, and that we are looking forward to partnering with you as clients, with the broader community, including our partners and funders and other individuals who would like to come alongside this strategic plan toward long-term sustainability. And so we will be in contact with clients directly, you know, based on either email or mailing, based on what contact information we have for them, to let them know of alternatives that we would like to offer them in the interim.
Dr. Kimberly Sterling, the chair of the board of the Martin Luther King Multi-Service Center, biggest financial crisis in their 42 years. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much, Amos, for this opportunity.
Well, what do y'all think? I'm going to give you a few minutes to marinate on it. You can call me at 239-1310, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com, or you can send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Oh, I want to hear from all y'all. And I may say something, too, after these. I want to give a clarification. The meeting, in the interview that I had with Kimberly Sterling, Dr. Kimberly Sterling of the Martin Luther King Center Board, we talked about a meeting that Indiana Black Expo called yesterday. That meeting was not about the Martin Luther King Center. That meeting contained about 40 community leaders. And it was called by Indiana Black Expo. And I think it was an offshoot of everybody's thinking that we have to come together as a community, an offshoot of the program that we did a couple of weeks ago. And Tanya Bell, and I got to give her, you know, props and shout out for taking leadership, pulling folks together to see, you know, what more can be done. And in the midst of that meeting, talking about, you know, what we can do to deal with violence. And this word came out about the King Center, and then the meeting went in another direction. So I don't want anybody to think that the meeting that was referred to yesterday was dealing with the King Center. All these people were caught by surprise. Let me start hearing from you. Then I've got some thoughts about what I just heard. Let me start with Dee. Hi, Dee.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm blessed.
What's up?
Well, when I called you back in November when Ms. Collins was on your show, she said, "We're not closing."
Mm-hmm.
Those were her exact words.
Right.
And when I tried to explain to her what I knew for a fact, mm-hmm. she denied it all.
Mm-hmm.
For a fact. You've gotten rid of your welding program from the workforce. You've gotten rid of other programs to help the community in obtaining jobs. You've gotten rid of all those. Your seniors, you've gotten rid of them. And then my question to Ms. Shriver, since she claims I'm so far, you know, untouched with this community, which she is. If I'm a parent and my kids get picked up at their school and brought to you for aftercare, you just gave me a week to find somewhere for my kids to go. That puts my job in jeopardy and my kids' lives in jeopardy.
That's a good point. I am told that they're trying to put all this together. But the one of the things that struck me was when I asked Dr. Sterling, when did the board make their decision? And she said the end of January. At that point, That's when the public announcement could have been said, hey, this is what's getting ready to happen. No, y'all ain't going to like it. We got to put plans in place to cover it, but here's where we're going.
Amos.
Yeah.
They cut back on their full-time employees, made some of their full-times part-times.
Absolutely.
One of them, they gave a raise. This was last year.
Right.
Not January. This was last year.
Mm-hmm.
When you read the list of all the centers and everything that got grants, Martin Luther King Center was not there. That's when I knew they were closing. That was back in October.
Well, and I agree with your point. And the other thing that really spooked me in the interview is, and I, again, I'm wearing my business person hat. If I know I'm in a financial crisis, trust me, I know my numbers.
Take it to the community.
And for them, why is it, and I got to be real careful, because we always want to lift up younger people and give younger people an opportunity to serve, right? So you don't want to say, aha, this is what happens when you have younger people in leadership positions. They mess up. You know, I don't want to get caught in that. But doggone it, after 40 years in this business, 20 years on the air doing this kind of stuff, don't you all know the kinds of questions I'm going to ask? Goodness gracious. They should have known I was going to ask, what is your financial position? And been ready for me. It's like I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to set them up nicely, and they flubbed it. I can speculate what the financial condition was at the end of June 2013. I can speculate on how bad the deficit is. But doggone it, when you're given this bad news, if the deficit was $500,000, doggone it, say it. If it was $300,000, say it. Don't say, well, I don't have the financial. Oh, come on, you're the board chair. I'm sorry, guys. Anyway, good points. Let me go to Al at 239-1310. Hi, Al.
Hello, hi. It's Al.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
I was calling because this is the first I've heard about the center closing. And
it's the first. A lot of people are hearing officially that it's closing. Hold it.
I was shocked from the standpoint of the fact that I was president of the board at the time that we were able to get that building.
Right.
And it's a long story, and I ain't going to go through all that, but if they knew what was committed by the community and the people that were involved, people like myself and others, we had a package and a plan put together. You only grow when you're able to financially grow with what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the programs and packages were put together when we got that building. People just talk about the building, but I think people need to understand that that building has a lot of acreage around it, and it goes with that center. And if they knew the history, you know, they said they pulled together community leaders. Well, this is the first I heard about it, and I've been in the community over 40 years, had me the first one involved when he got that place, and it was gotten on the basis of, we wanted to honor the gentleman who we named it after many years ago, and we moved from one side of Meridian, and we talked about building a new building all together. But based on a shorter story, we were able to communicate with some resources, and we were able to get that building, and people don't understand, it actually was a AAA headquarters.
Right, right.
And we were able to negotiate and get that building free and clear with what we've done.
And Al, this is Al Poland. Al, you've served on a lot of nonprofit boards. What is the correct procedure when a nonprofit board sees that the organization's deficit is increasing?
Well, you know, I think that there have been some red flags, and if they were meeting according to quote unquote regular practices.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been some red flags saying, we're spending this much, we got this much coming in. What do we need to do? Go out and get some more resources to cover what we want to do. And not add on to something that you're already burdened with that you can't financially support. So there had to be some red flags saying that, hey, we got overload on staff or programs or something, and we can't do that right now until we look at our resources. And United Way has always been a great partner with the center. But I'm sure United Way and everybody else involved is concerned about the actual cost to keep it going and what are the positive outcomes that you're doing. Now, I know they had a great senior citizen program.
Right.
I know that we had money that allows us to do certain things, And I know time changes and people don't want to hear about what we used to do. Well, that's not important what we used to do, but I think sometimes people need to step back and listen to what you used to do. Maybe something that you want to try again today, because if it worked then, it may work now. But if you don't want to listen, you got your mind made up that this is where it's got to be. You've got a problem, because you have to have an open heart, open mind, and think not only of yourself, but think of what impact it's going to have on the total programs and things that you were doing to assist the community. Now, I know they have a big catchment area, and I know within that catchment area, people like myself and others would have said, hey, what can we do to help you if you're facing this financial crisis?
No, absolutely. Yes. And the other thing is, if they were really that good partners with the United Way, and United Way was that good partner, somebody in the United Way should have had the sensitivity to say, hey, board, you know, we know the importance of the King Center in the community. While you guys work on your reorganization plan, let us take the responsibility to contact key people in the neighborhood, key community leaders, and give them a private heads up. Good points, Al. Thank you for that history. 239-1310. I got a text message. Message at 37890, keyword Amos, and it says, something is fishy, Amos. I don't know what, but something's not right over there. 239-1310 got on Twitter. Rhonda replies, so the center will be closed this summer when it is vital for our children to have a safe place to go. The other thing is, Dr. Kimberly Sterling is using the adjective hiatus. Scandals on hiatus. Till next week. So it's not closed, it's hiatus. And the other significant thing was, when I asked the status of employees, she said it is a layoff, which is a little bit different than we're closing, but I've heard of things where they lay off and then the next thing you know, so let's maybe use hiatus. Let me go back to the phones and Tracy. Hi there. Tracy, I'm hearing the television set or the radio plus you, so no, you need to turn everything else down.
I'm at the doctor's office.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's up, Tracy?
But what I wanted to know is that young blood that we got in the thing, the young lady you said that they had.
Yeah.
And then you got the guy who's got all the information he just gave about the land. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The building was bought free and clear, right?
Mm-hmm. Say again?
They're what I think they're trying to do is they're trying to buy the property and build something else there, so they get rid of the center is what they do.
So you're not feeling them, huh?
Absolutely not, because why didn't they close the center on the south side?
All right, good point. Good point.
Why come they didn't close in the white community?
All right, good point. Same thing with Krista Morehouse. Let me go to Robert right quick at 239-1310. Robert, you got about a minute.
Oh, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
I just like to I listened to the interview that you had with the chairman of MLK Center. She wasn't even prepared to answer your question. Like you said, as long as you've been on the air, you've given the audience a tip-off of the people that's going to be interviewed. Basically what kind of questions that would be asked. But she was totally ill-prepared to answer your question. She put in to dodge your question, which that was bad in itself. And also, Ames, I want to kind of deviate a little from the topic. It's a company that is going around in the black community. The name of it is Budley MK Heating and Cooling, which is located out on 4420. East 21st Street. They are going through the black community and preying on senior citizens. If you'd have to have a furnace put in, and the capacity of the home requires a furnace of maybe 100,000 BTU or 150,000 BTU, they are going in and putting in lesser quality or lesser output BTU output furnace in people home and charging them for that, the appropriate,
you might want to, you know, drop that dime to the Attorney General's office.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to do, but I just wanted to get that in. I've been trying to get that in this week.
All right, my brother, I appreciate it. Let me go to Douglas at 239-1310. Hi, Douglas.
Hi, Amos. If everyone in the community is complaining about this, why don't they step up and donate money to help keep this center open?
You know, that was one thing that the board chair did not say. She did not give an appeal. Hey, if you want to help, here's how you donate.
Tell me where to mail the check.
I don't even know, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, I can tell you that they're located at 40. Let me make sure I got the right address here. I believe it's 40 West 40th Street. I'm on their website. Okay, contact us. Here we go. Why don't you guys have the address on your website? I'm 90% sure it's 40 West 40th Street. I do know on their website, which is mlk-msc.org, they've got one of those little donate buttons where you can donate using a credit card or a debit card. But I do know their mailing address is 40 West 40th Street. You might double check me on that. And the zip code is 46208.
All righty.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go back to the phone. Let me go to count before I take a break. Counselor Joe Simpson, because I got an email pointing fingers at the members of the council saying, you know, what are y'all going to do about this? Joe Simpson, is this the first time you're hearing date certain of this financial crisis at the MLK Center?
Yeah, and so I'm calling because no one has reached out to. I know this is Councilman Monroe Gray's district, but I butt right up against him, and no one has contacted me at all. And I don't know whether they contact Monroe, but I want you to understand something. They have a major, they're talking about a TIF wrapped around the park. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder when I heard that, and I don't think that board is being honest and real, because if they were real, they would have contacted us, and we could have got with Oja Wim, the deputy mayor, and probably had some kind of conversation about that center. But they're talking about doing a major renovation in that park, and it makes, I think, some of your people need to understand that they probably want that property.
The other thing is, Joe Simpson, you have served, you've been chair of the chair of the Red Cross board. You've been on a number of nonprofit boards. I thought I read, or maybe you had worked with the MLK board. From a board perspective, a nonprofit board, when do you start raising questions as a deficit grows?
But you raise it the year. I mean, you know, at least 2 years out that there's a financial financial problem. The issue is, and I think you need to find out from them who cut the grants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out here in the community, whether it was, you know, I don't know who Martin Luther King Center was getting grants from, but did the city cut them or did United Way cut them?
Mm-hmm.
Because this sound like me, and I was president of CCI board.
Right.
And this is a game that was always played among, at least as far as I'm concerned, because I can speak from experience, that there are some centers that get targeted. And I think this center has been targeted by United Way or some other funding source for a while. You know, they had a director in there before they had Joni, and she left. And she had difficulty with the funders, you know, and the board. So this has been, I guess they wanted to make this center like it's been in turmoil, when you got the Al Polans, myself, and a lot of good people in this community that probably would have came to the rescue, anything, but nobody notified us. It's like, you know, this board, I don't know who the board is, but if you don't contact your counselor person, then what are you saying to me, that you really, that you care, but you don't really care? Because we could have done something. And
I think this is
an insult to this community, that we are sitting here watching Martin Luther King Multi-Service Center. And I think Chief Hyde was right. I read a quote on him, when that's when I found out this morning, that he said, what are these kids? They out here fighting crime, and people are more worried about development. And so, you know, I'm going to leave it like that, Amy, but I think you don't stop digging into this.
The other thing is, were you surprised that when I asked the simple question, what is the size of the deficit, what's the financial condition, they didn't have that information in front of them?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a shell game. I don't fully accept that.
All right. You know what I mean?
You didn't close the center. What, the checkbook said it had zero in it? That's the reason you closed? Or did you close because you saw the finance? You, somebody on that board, I know they got a treasure. And they had to have somebody keep up with it. United Way know what it is.
Well, somebody better, if y'all know it, you know, please tell, you know, email me at praiseindy.com or put it in the text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Some more of your comments on the MLK Center, then we will get a little bit after the top of the hour with the folks from the Commission on Higher Education. It's After News with Amos, after these. Tracy has been waiting patiently. Tracy, thanks for waiting. Tracy?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, Amos. Thank you. I've been listening to a lot of the comments, and it is unfortunate that the building is in danger right now. But I think the biggest thing, like many others have said, is there's more to that story. They didn't all of a sudden wake up and realize they were in the red. If they had a board meeting every month, they should have known they were in the red before now. So I think right now, since they are in crisis mode, they need to get out of that and seek to partner with people who really want to help them, if they want to be helped. But I also think that there's a lot of greed. There's a lot of underlying things. It seems that everybody right now just wants to have that building for whatever reason. I don't think they want to try to save it.
And I'm trying to figure out, I've got to look through this tax return, which is more than 2 years old, to figure out what is the actual value of that building. They did indicate that the building has a line of credit where the building is used as collateral.
Right.
Which is a normal practice to use real estate that you own as a collateral for a line of credit. But then that's going to have people thinking, well, wait a minute, how much is the line of credit? Is that line of credit being used to pay the bills? It was a lot left unanswered, and to be honest with you, some of it, I think, is the result of inexperience by well-meaning board members. And, you know, this is, you know, why, on the one level, you want younger people, younger professionals involved. That's how you learn.
Right.
But on the other side of the coin, you got to be willing. And I've got to look down that board list to see how many, you know, elders are on there.
Well, I don't think it's an issue of age per se.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, I also think it's an issue of it's okay to be young.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. You need to have that experience or be willing to take some guidance from someone who's going to help you. It just seems to me that they've been running this train for a long time and now it's skipped the track. And now everybody wants to point the finger at, oh, well, we're young and we're inexperienced. And that's unacceptable to me.
All right. Good points, my sister.
Unacceptable. Thank you.
Let me go to Marge right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I just wanted to just chime in and say that I'm in agreement with your previous callers, especially Tracy, Counselor Simpson, and there were a couple more, another caller that called in earlier. There's more to this story, and someone wants that property. I cannot believe that you have board members who've been sitting on a board and doing nothing. Who are those people? You know, who sits on a board and just lets the place go? You know it's on fire, you smell smoke, and you don't call the fire department. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. What happened to the fundraising? Where's your capital campaign? Where's the call out to the community? Hey, we need some help here. I don't get it. As a person who has family members who were beneficiaries of some of those programs over there, especially as young children, this cannot happen. We need these services in this community, especially in this area. And I just cannot believe they're going to just let this fall by the wayside. At this point, there has to be something that can be done. If they're not willing to cooperate and with the community and to save this, then there's a bigger problem going on here.
And you're absolutely right. And I think that's one of the keys why I asked for, their tax return, that they have had to file it. They would have had to file it in November of last year. That's when the tax returns for nonprofits are due, in November of the year. So since they filed it, and it is public record, and I really don't want to have to show up at their door and demand to see it, which they must provide it by federal law. I really don't have time to just drive up there and do that. All they got to do is make it a PDF, email it to me, then we can put it on praiseindy.com and the community can see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, so I know they're listening. So get the file, PDF it, email it to us, because I think that's going to tell the story. Let me go quickly to Anonymous. Thank you, Marge, at 239-1310. Hi there.
Amos, you know, we really need to quit blaming other people for our shortcomings and what's happening. The MLK Center belongs to our community. So, I mean, like you said earlier about inexperienced board members, and even people in position running it. I think someone at one time had mentioned that the person that was running the MLK Center was also involved with the Walker. And so we know the situation and, you know, what's happening with the Walker there. But with all due respect to the MLK Center, you know, I think, and all due respect to United Way, I think United Way is doing a great job with some of the other agencies and things that they provide for. And MLK just happens to be, you know, an agency that, you know, is in our community and it's hurting right now. So we really need to rally behind MLK and try to see what we can do. Now, for one, Amos, I haven't heard any type of a plea to the community from the MLK Center. Again, the same thing with the Walker. No type of a plea to the community that they're struggling. When you get inexperienced people in position, you know, what do you expect?
No, and you're absolutely right. And even with the board chair, didn't even make a plea. Usually somebody come on, I'm in trouble. They would give you can make your check and money order out too.
Exactly. But they've been knowing they've been in trouble for some time. I mean, just all of a sudden, I mean, you can't just get in trouble all of a sudden. I mean, this is something that's been ongoing. And like I said, if this person was involved down at the Walker, then we already know that she don't know what she's doing.
I don't know that for a fact, whether there was a Walker involved.
Your homework.
All right, I will do that. I'm going to let Bishop Roach have the last word. Bishop, you got about a minute. Hi there.
Okay, how you doing, Amy?
I'm fine, sir.
Listen, our organization was the founders of the Butler Falcon Multi-Service Center, and it erupted out of that. We had Butler Falcon Neighborhood Youth Association and Adult Association, and we had dances and fundraisers there at St. Thomas Aquinas. We were in a partnership with the neighborhood. Butler Falcon is one of the strongest neighborhoods, period, and their neighborhood association actually have funds that could help them out. So I don't understand whether they are not in union with the complete neighborhood, although in defense, there's a lot of things that go on with United Way that's almost unspeakable. So I understand why she was being cautious with what she was saying.
First of all, Bishop, I thank you for that history lesson about some of the founding of the King Center, as well. I thank Al Poland for coming in and sharing some of that history lesson. This is obviously not the first. We're going to hear from that. We're going to keep our eye on this because it ain't hitting me right. And you know, every time you try to be nice and give people the opportunity to tell the story their way, you know, it's on them. And they may not have done a good job. Anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you. We'll change.